Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord, the psalmist said. I remember when I cried out to the Lord in my depths. I was 19 years old, doing my national service. I had the flu, but I still went for the obstacle course test. The obstacle course test is a very tough test. You have to wear all your battle equipment and you do all the obstacles. After the test, my buddy came to me and said, "Are you okay? You look very red." So I went to the toilet, checked the mirror. I saw that indeed I was very red. And I also saw an opportunity to skip the next training, the next tough training, which was a 3-day trench digging. So I went to see the camp doctor. He examined me and he told me, "You are very lucky to be alive. You could have died from this. And if you had gone for the next training, you probably would have died." So he sent me to hospital. I laid in hospital for 2 weeks, just laying on the bed, doing nothing. My heart had been affected by the flu virus, so the heart muscles were enlarged. My heart was pumping irregularly and sometimes even skipping some beats. So there was a real possibility of death. Laid in bed, I cried out to God in my depths, "God, help me. I'm only 19 years old. I don't want to die now." I also cried out to God, "God, heal me. I don't want to live the rest of my life severely limited by this heart problem." So I was crying out to God from the depths of my troubles. The psalmist was in the depths too. The Hebrew for the word depth is ma'a makim, and this word appears only 5 times in the Bible. 2 times it appears in Psalm 69, which is King David's cry to God to deliver him from his enemies. His enemies were more than the number of hairs on his head. They hated him without any reason. They were out to destroy him. So he cried out and said in verse 2, "I am in deep waters." And in verse 14, he cried and prayed to God, "Deliver me from my enemies, deliver me from deep waters." So Ma'a Makim for King David was the deep waters of distress, physical, emotional, and mental distress. The word Ma'a Makim also appears in Isaiah 51:10. "Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over?" Here God comforted his people by reminding them of how he delivered them from the Egyptian army by parting the depths, the Red Sea, to make a way for them to cross. In Exodus, we see Israel's only escape from the enemy is straight towards the sea. It was a hopeless situation if God did not intervene. So Ma'a Makim, the depths of hopelessness. This word also appears in Ezekiel 27:34, where the prophet prophesied against Tyre of a downfall. "You are now wrecked by the seas in the depths of the water." This once wealthy island city of Tyre, who supplied many nations with her sea produce, after being conquered by Alexander the Great, was like a ship wrecked by the sea, sunk to the depths of the sea, remembered no more by all the other nations. Ma'a Makim, in the depths of being forgotten. Out of the depths, the psalmist cried out to God. I suggest to you that the psalmist felt all this distress, he felt hopelessness, also felt that he was being forgotten. So he cried out to God in verse 2, Psalm 130, verse 2. "O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy." Verse 3. "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" Psalmist was saying, if you, O Lord, should record, should observe, should consider my sins, then I am really doomed. Because God, you are so holy, I am so sinful. How can I stand before you with my sin? The psalmist, acknowledging his sin, was in the depths. He cried out to God, save me from the depths. You could say he was crying out to God saying, save me from this living hell. He knew that God and sin do not mix, just like water and oil do not mix. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. God is holy, God is just. God hates sin and always punishes sin. God cannot close one eye and sweep the sin under the rug. If you should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? No one could stand with sin before God. Everyone with sin will be judged guilty before God and pay the penalty. Ezekiel 18:4 tells us this penalty. The soul who sins shall die. The ESV Bible has this about to say on the topic of the final judgment and hell. Let's read this together. It's found in your notes, printed in bold. Unbelievers will be judged, and the result will be punishment for even careless words that were spoken. Those who refuse God's gracious offer of forgiveness in Christ will suffer eternal conscious punishment in hell, a condition of torment cut off from the presence of God. So the psalmist cried out to God for mercy to save him, both from his living hell, his depths, and also from his eternal hell. Some of us here today may be in the same depths. We have unconfessed sins, we groan, we waste away from guilt and shame. You may be saying to yourself, I have done so much evil, I have sinned so many times, how can God still forgive me? I am hopeless, I can't be rescued. So you just want to hide away from God. Adam and Eve, when they first sinned, they were filled with guilt and shame, so they hid from God. It was God who took the initiative to seek them out. He called out to Adam, where are you? If you have been hiding from God because of your sin, hear God calling out to you today. Where are you, my child? When you hear God calling you, do not be like Adam and Eve, because Adam and Eve, when confronted by God about their sin, did not acknowledge their sin. God asked Adam, have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? Adam replied, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit, I ate it. God asked Eve, what is this that you have done? Eve replied, the serpent deceived me, so I ate. They blamed others, they gave excuses, but they did not acknowledge their sin. Be like the psalmist instead when God confronts you with your sin. Acknowledge your sin. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? 1 John 1:8 says the same thing. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. From the time Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, all of humanity has fallen into sin. All of us are sinful. The psalmist continued his cry to God in verse 4, but with you, God, there is forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 echoes the same hope. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our God, whose nature is always to have mercy, provided the solution to sin. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes should not perish, but have eternal life. If you know this song, please sing along with me. You can find the words in your notes. God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Imagine with me, we stand at Calvary. We see Jesus nailed to the cross. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. The just died for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. God has provided us the solution to sin. With God, there is forgiveness. What must we do to get God's forgiveness? Well, first of all, if you are not yet a believer in God, you do not believe God exists. That's the very first thing you need to do. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Romans 10:9 tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So believe that Jesus paid the price for your sins on the cross. Jesus has redeemed you, so therefore Jesus is now your Lord. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Thirdly, 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this hope is found in the single sacrifice of Christ. Hebrews 10:12 tells us, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God." Christ's single sacrifice covers all sin for all time. Therefore, we can say with the psalmist, in verse 7, the psalmist says, "O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption. And He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." With God, there is plentiful redemption, always accessible, always available, always abundant, and always effective, cleaning us of our sins. God is just. Justice has been served by Christ's single sacrifice of His life. Fourthly, the Bible also teaches us to get God's forgiveness. We must forgive others. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught His disciples how to pray in what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. He taught them to pray, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." In verses 14 and 15, He later taught them, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." If you feel that you're in the depths, you feel you're not forgiven by God, even if you have confessed your sins, friends, I urge you today to check yourself. Ask yourself, who do I need to forgive? Or ask, who am I still angry with? Do I still think of the wrongs that were done to me? Have you thought of anybody yet? If not, maybe you ask this question: who do I feel like kicking or punching when I see them? Or ask yourself, With whom do I need to make peace with? It is important to forgive others, otherwise we will not get God's forgiveness. Forgiveness from God is essential for relationship with God, because God and sin don't mix. Unconfessed sin, therefore unforgiven sin, and unforgiveness, they all can block our relationship with God. But with you, there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. God forgives us so that we might fear Him. Some English Bible translations translate the word, instead of fear, they translate it to revere or worship. God forgives us so that we might have a relationship with Him, a relationship where we revere Him, we worship Him, we obey Him, we serve Him. An unknown author wrote this: reverence of God helps us take Him and His beneficial laws seriously. Proverbs 14:27 tell us that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. I have two children. Liza is 18, Daniel is 14. Some years ago, I heard my wife scolding Daniel in the kitchen. Daniel had made a big mess in the fridge. The milk bottle, he didn't tighten the cap properly. He placed it on the top shelf. And so, you know, the milk will start flowing out. It was a 2-liter bottle of milk. So the fridge was a big mess, covered with milk. You can see the milk flowing down from the top shelf, downwards, downwards, downwards. You could say our household was very blessed. Our fridge was overflowing with milk. It was a big mess. Clean it up! That was the punishment meted out by my wife for Daniel's wrongdoing. It was a great mess. Daniel didn't even know where to start. He could just stand there, tearing. He was tearing because it looks like a hopeless situation. I was close to tears because it was really, really a mess. But I was close to tears more so because of the anguish of Daniel. I saw that he couldn't do the cleaning up. He couldn't restore the fridge to its spick and span condition. So I did the cleaning up. I didn't send him to his room. I made him stand there and watch me clean up. He saw me taking his punishment. So Christ has paid the price of sin for us. But with you, there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. God is holy and just. His nature is always to hate sin and punish sin. God is steadfast love. His nature is always to have mercy. God forgives us plentiful redemption because He always wants to be our Heavenly Father, to be worshipped, to be revered by His children. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have provided the solution to sin so that we do not need to be in the depths, in the living hell. We do not need to be in eternal hell. We thank You that You have shown us forgiveness and You have taught us to also forgive others. So help us, Lord, as You forgive us, help us to fear You in reverence, in love, in worship, in obedience, and in service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.